So we already defined what reinforcement is. Reinforcement is something that comes after a behavior that increases the chances of that behavior happening again. And it might seem simple, but there are two things that if you mess up, completely throw the whole thing off to the point where it's not even reinforcement anymore. So let's review what those two things are.
So there are two ways that reinforcement can go wrong. One is what reinforcer is given, and two is when the reinforcer is given. So really, what is a reinforcer? As I've mentioned, there's no master list of reinforcers that I could possibly give you, because what's a reinforcer to you is not necessarily a reinforcer to me. Not every kid likes Cheetos, and not every kid likes iPad, or that really yucky combination of Cheetos and iPad where you never get the orange dust out of that button. Not every kid cares about these things. Not every kid likes good grades or peer approval. So reinforcers are going to be different for each of your students. There's an important difference between preferred items and reinforcers. There's things we like versus things that will work for. And the same goes with all of us. Let me share with you some of my preferred items. So these are things I like. I really like fall scented candles all year. I don't discriminate, guys. I want my house to smell like the inside of a pumpkin at all times. Drives everyone in my family crazy. I used to be obsessed with the show Scandal. I know that show is over, so this is becoming dated, but it was still one of my faves, and I pretty much wish I was Olivia Pope at any moment. And Starbucks. The addiction is real. I really procrastinated on even getting the Starbucks app because I didn't want to know how much money I spent there. Starbucks is life. Now, these are things I like, but these are not things I will work for. If someone's like, hey, Sasha, work all week, 9 to 5 every day, work really hard, and guess what? At the end of that week, you can watch Scandal. I'm like, you know, sounds great. No, thank you, but I'll take the paycheck instead. They're not things that I'm going to work for, do something really new or hard or time consuming, because these are just preferred items for me. Finding a reinforcer can be tricky because some of our kids and adults might have limited verbal skills and might not be able to tell us. And other individuals that have verbal skills might not be able to always express what they want. Because remember, choice making is a skill that some of our kids are still working on. And reinforcers change. Something is not a reinforcer all day or all of a child's life or all even week. Reinforcers can change from the morning to the afternoon, from day to day, from year to year. Think about how hungry you are right before lunch, especially if you are an early childhood teacher and you have a lunch break at like 10:15 normally during the school year. Right before lunch, you're like, oh my gosh, cheese fries, that sounds amazing, I'm starving. But after you've eaten a big meal and the waiter brings over the dessert menu and you act like he's personally offended you because you are so full you couldn't possibly look at the dessert menu, but let's be real, we look anyways. Reinforcers change. Right before lunch, you wanted those cheese fries, but when you're not hungry anymore, the thought of cheese fries or a dessert seems like no way that's not gonna happen. I like to call this the Taylor Swift effect. The new Taylor Swift song comes out, we're all into it. We download it, we listen to it. Every time it's on the radio, we turn it up. And then after 2 weeks, you're like, oh my gosh, if I hear Bad Blood again, I'm going to lose my mind. We get sick of things. Maybe you went through that Candy Crush obsession that a lot of us did a few years ago, where you pretty much ignored your friends and family for a few weeks because you were addicted to playing Candy Crush on your cell phone. You got sick of it after a while, right? Because reinforcers change. It's important to note with a lot of our kids that they might have untraditional reinforcers. They may have things that they like and things that they're interested in that might not pop into our head. They might not be on our reinforcer menu that we already have in our classroom, but these untraditional interests can be really powerful reinforcers because they're something our kids are interested in. I'm going to share a few of examples from some of my past students and clients because they're so hilarious and amazing, but I hope that this sparks thinking about what some of your kids are interested in that might be untraditional. So I had a student a lot of years ago who was obsessed with Maury Povich. Like obsessed, guys. And this kid would work so hard. I'm talking 30 minutes straight, engaged, on task, ready to roll. If at the end of that session, he and I could play Maury Povich. Yep. We had to play the reveal of the paternity test and he had to be Maury Povich and I had to be the parent getting the paternity test results and give him the big reaction. And this might sound hilarious, but I got into it after a while. It was pretty fun. This was not something I would have thought of. I wouldn't have just put this on a choice menu. But man, if he could work for Maury Povich, he was all into it. I also had a client who was really into wanting to know when I was pregnant with my first child, what fruit or what vegetable, whatever, the baby was. You know how there's those apps or you can look online and see what size the baby is at that week. Well, he wanted to know every week what size the baby was related to the fruit. And I really think he thought I had a pineapple in my belly and thought this was just ridiculous. But man, he would work and work if I said, we can look at the app at the end of the session. So start to think about what untraditional interests your kids have and how you could utilize that as a reinforcer. Now, don't be afraid of contrived reinforcers. It's not your job to decide what's a reinforcer and what's not. You can't pick for someone else what you like, and they can't pick for you. A lot of the things that we've talked about so far are contrived reinforcers. Cheetos, iPad, playing Maury Povich. Those aren't things that naturally happen in the real world, but we want to meet our students right now where they're at, because we don't want someone to pick what our reinforcers are, right? Every 2 weeks or once a month, you get a paycheck for working really hard at your job. What if your principal decided, hey, instead of paychecks, I'm going to pay everyone in scratch-off lottery tickets? Would you be cool with that? Probably not, right? Now, we've mentioned a few times food. We've mentioned using candy or snacks as a reinforcer. Now, you want to think about where your choices lie with that, where your school districts and schools' policies are, and where each parent is going to be along the continuum of making that decision. For food as a reinforcer, kind of my rules here are we want to meet the child where he or she is at. If food is absolutely the only thing that's a reinforcer for this child right now, that's where you're going to start. You're not going to stay there, but you want to meet them where they're at. You're going to work on establishing things as other things as reinforcers while using food to get started. My general rule of thumb is to ask mom or dad to send a snack every day, and then when they get to school, you take that snack out of their backpack, and the snack is what you use as a reinforcer throughout the day. You do all the special ed tricks of cutting up gummy worms and all those things. I'm definitely not advocating giving lots of sugar or high-calorie snacks all throughout the day. Really, the goal here, guys, is to fade to natural reinforcers. We want to fade to things that naturally happen in the real world. So when something good happens, when you do a positive behavior, what happens? You get praise, you get a paycheck, people tell you good job, your work is completed. Those things are naturally occurring in the real world based on your positive behaviors. So you want to start pairing the tangible reinforcers or things that are already a reinforcer with natural reinforcers. Pair it with praise, pair it with work completion. So eventually, those things will start to function as reinforcers on their own. Grades is another one that naturally happens in a school setting. If you do good work, you get good grades. So pair those contrived reinforcers, or what's a reinforcer for your learner now, with those grades. I've mentioned praise a few times. Praise is something that does happen naturally in the real world. People give you praise when you do good things. Not every time, not all the time, but a lot of time. So my kind of little detour here on this discussion is when chatting about praise is there's three things I like to think about when providing praise for a student. I want the praise to be specific. I want to tell them exactly what they did that was amazing so they know to do it again. I want that praise to be immediate. As we'll talk about in a minute, this is one of our missteps in reinforcement, so I want it to come right away. Then this is my little sneaky one. I like to tell the child how it makes me feel. A lot of our learners really struggle with identifying emotions and with identifying how their behavior affects the emotions of others. And I like to take every real world opportunity I have to work on this skill. So when Johnny walks in, hangs up his backpack all by himself, and we've been working on this for months, I feel proud. I feel excited and happy. So I want to tell him that. So you tell him, Johnny, oh my gosh, great job hanging up your backpack. I feel so proud of you and I feel so happy. And yeah, soon you start to do this all the time and you'll tell your husband you're so proud of him for doing the dishes, but that's okay. People like to be told that they're proud of them. So the next misstep in reinforcement is when to give the reinforcer. This is a common mistake because when we're in the process of building up the good that's there, meaning there's not enough good stuff yet, we want the reinforcer to come immediately. With some of our students, giving the reinforcer 5 minutes, 2 minutes, or even a minute later can lose the effectiveness. The connection needs to be apparent. So we want to provide that reinforcement exactly when we're seeing the behaviors you want to see more of. We want to build that up more and more. In lesson number 5, we're going to talk a lot more how to build from immediate reinforcement to delayed reinforcement, because that's a process and you want to make sure that you are working with the child throughout each step of that process. The goal is to go from immediate reinforcement, which is, let's be real, not sustainable in the classroom. You cannot run around giving every child a reinforcer after every positive behavior. We don't have the staff. We don't have the time for that. But that isn't natural in the real world. Our goal is to go from that immediate reinforcement to delayed reinforcement. Delayed reinforcement is what happens in the real world. Every time you do something great, someone doesn't pop out of genie doesn't pop out of a bottle and tell you, great job, that's awesome. Sometimes we don't get praise for our good behavior, the good things we do. We don't get a paycheck every single day. No one compliments us or gives us a break after everything that we do. Reinforcement becomes more delayed. So we'll be talking about how to work towards that delayed schedule of reinforcement, which is more natural in the real world.
So take this opportunity to think about how you've been utilizing reinforcement in your classroom and your home. Are you using things that are actually reinforcers? And are you starting to build up the good that's there by having that reinforcer come right away? Now, that second kind of misstep with reinforcement when the reinforcer comes is something we're going to be talking a lot about in Module 2, because it becomes really important when we talk about replacement behaviors. So we'll be getting back to that. But next, in the next video, let's talk about how to identify reinforcers for the kids that you can't quite figure that out yet.